Page Memches, Parshas Vayeshev. The brothers wanted to do Yosef harm. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Yehuda, Elechov." Yehuda says to his brothers, "Ma betza ki nahareg es achinu." What benefit are we going to have if, God forbid, we kill our own brother? So we'll feel better. He's no longer challenging us. He's no longer hurting our feelings, as it were, but we don't benefit. Now, the interesting word here, as Chazal tell us, is the word betza. Betza doesn't just mean benefit. Betza means something dishonest. Betza means ill-gotten gain. So the use of that word sparks discussion in the Gemara. Isa b'Gemara, Sanhedrin daf vavam at base. Kol ha-mevarech es Yehuda, nikra botzea. Now the reason that the Gemara would talk about a mevarech, someone who would bless Yehuda, who ostensibly he saves his brother, because he says, let's pull him out of the pit and, you know, we'll sell him. But if we look carefully at the process and we consider what it is that he should have done, he should have saved him outright. Can I trouble you for a chumash for a second? Thank you. It was his idea to sell Yosef at Tzadik. He says, whatever happens to him will happen to him, meaning we shouldn't with our own hands cause him any harm. If harm befalls him through no direct fault of ours, so be it. So this means he's still very guilty. That's the simple idea of how to understand the Gemara. That's the simplest interpretation. Now, as far as calling him a good guy, a fine person, and giving him credit, and as far as saying, well, then let's call him blessed, or let's bless him, let's be Mevarech Yehuda, that's because the Pasuk in Mishlei, excuse me, the Pasuk in Tehillim, says, U'boitzea beirech nietzes Hashem. You can't bless someone who benefits, but through an ill-gotten gain and through dishonesty. The Gemara, for instance, says that's why if something is, as an example, not kosher, you don't make a bracha on it. Person who says, I can't hold back from doing this terrible sin, I have to eat this, don't make a bracha. Because you're not supposed to be eating it. Nietzes Hashem. It's blasphemy. So saying something so wonderful about Yehuda, who merely saved his brother from a clear and direct imminent death in the pit, but really didn't save him. So the Gemara is saying, you shouldn't be blessing him, you shouldn't be praising him. But now, the Me'ah Shalach is going to take this to a much deeper level. Ha'inyan b'zeh, Dehinei Isa b'Gemara. Gemara in the Dorim tells us, B'shaita d'yetzer hara, less man d'mitka l'yetzer toiv. The nature of the yetzer hara is that it gets so powerfully, overwhelmingly into us that we simply don't have the ability to overcome the yetzer hara. We just don't have the ability to overcome. And as a result, it's almost as if we are not cognizant any longer of the Yetzer HaTov. We're just overwhelmed. Now, that does not mean that there's no free will, because that's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The world is created that we have choices. But the Yetzer Hara is a powerful force. And it says, you want this, and it's not something that you've, you know, really done so bad. If you do it, you'll be okay. It's, you really want it, you need it, it's right, everyone else has it, does it. Whatever the case is, the Yetzer Hara has endless means to cause us to do the wrong thing. And it happens. That's our lives. That's being humanly frail and flawed. But we should try. We have to try. But the Yetzer Hara is so powerful that to actually remember the Yetzer HaTov at that time, to actually remember the Yetzer HaTov and think about, you know, the other side and really, you know, have all the presence of mind, if you will, to weigh the matter carefully, that's not something that's easily going to happen. That's not typical. And that's what the Gemara Nedarim is saying. B'sha'ata d'yitzra hara, lesman d'mitka l'yitzra hatoif. V'hu, that is, kisha Hashem yisbarach chafetz l'nasa, says Adam, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to test somebody, az mishakeach mimenu kol chomer ha'isur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, let's cause him to not even be cognizant, to forget, as it were, the heavy prohibition attached to whatever it is he's about to do. So let's say in this case, it's murder, God forbid, of Yosef. Well, you know, it's not really murder. It's not necessarily that we are doing it directly. We put him in a pit, and in the pit, he doesn't have what to eat or drink, so he'll die. But we're not going to be formally charged for that. It's only indirect cause, not even, you know, our fault directly. And then they're also going to come up with all kinds of reasons why he's guilty and why he deserves to die. So the severity of the homicide itself will somehow be very, very attenuated in their minds. They're not going to really sense, with the power of the Yetzer HaTov, that you don't take a human life. When they wanted to kill Yosef, so the whole severity of the prohibition to take another human being's life, their own brother's life, didn't work. Verak be'etzos zulas divrei Torah, just all kinds of other calculations, not Torah calculations, not the guidance of right and wrong, by looking at, well, we won't really benefit anyway, doesn't really do us any good. Nitzel miyadom, that's what saved him. When Yehuda says, you know, well, you know, after all, what benefit are we going to have? What benefit will we derive? That's not the way you save your brother. You save your brother by saying, I would go out on a limb for him. I'll make sure nothing happens to him. I got to save his life. He's our brother. He's our flesh and blood. They were saved from sin only because they realized, well, what benefit can we derive? And in the end, Chazal tell us that they actually sold him and they made some money. Oh, so we made some benefit. He's still alive. And we made a couple of dollars.
So just a quick question. So what's bothering Nashiloth? Really the phraseology of Mabetza? You know, because Reuven, we know Reuven, you know, what he does is he puts him in the pit. He says, let's, you know,
right.
He also has a pretense, right? But his pretense, it, you know, we find later is actually righteous.
He was going to come back eventually and save him. Yehuda, unlike Reuven, says, look, there's no real benefit to keep him here in the pit. And it could be Yehuda wasn't really aware of Reuven's ultimate intentions of coming back.
What was Reuven's phraseology when Reuven said, you know, let's put him in the pit? You know, did he use a similar phraseology?
He says we shouldn't, he says that we should not ourselves stretch forth our hands against our own brother. But that meant putting him in a pit where ultimately he would have perished. Al tishpuchu dam, hashlichu oisei al habor hazeh, asher bamidbar, v'yod al tishlichu va. Now, he sells this to them, with they, the brothers, believing he'll die. in the pit. But the Torah attests to Yehuda's goodwill, to, excuse me, Reuven's goodwill, and the Torah says, Laman hitzilo yisemi yadam lahashiva yalaviv. But what the Meshilach is looking at is in the case of Yehuda, who says, Ma betza kinar gesachinu, who doesn't say, let's save him, but who says, you know, he's going to die in the pit, and Yehuda might very well have thought that that's what's going to happen. But that's not something that we can really benefit from. Instead of saving him outright, but the idea of betza, meaning not just doing something that's dishonest, but that's doing something for the ulterior motive, whatever that motive is, even if it's not a dishonest motive.
Even if it's not
a dishonest motive. But if it's not where you say this is wrong, let's do what's right. That's the problem.
I think it's leave it to faith. You know,
we'll see that. We'll see. Right. We'll see. Let Hashem decide. That's right. What he's going to say. Right. Let's continue. But his point is going to be that avoidance of evil by saying, well, I wouldn't really benefit from it. That's very, very poor religiousness.
That's lessening the evil.
Oh, it's certainly not as bad as killing the poor brother, but it, in terms of righteousness and piety, it's very low on the ladder. It's a low rung on the ladder of piety, for which therefore Yehuda is faulted. And that's the point of the Gemara. Let's continue. Ki Yehuda hayachachem gadol b'chachmos olam hazeh. Yehuda was a very wise man. We see the Torah continues with the story of Yehuda becoming a successful shepherd and dealer in flocks. Al kain zamam eitz of Omar. So therefore, he says, Ma betza kinar gesachinu. Af sheho yenir lo shemitzad hadin muta lahar goy. He said, look, you know, really we are allowed to kill him. Kamesha yizboer. As can be explained. He explains that in the next paragraph, he says, look, Yosef was destroying the family. Yosef was ripping the family apart with Deborah by saying what he said incorrectly in his suspicions about his own brothers to his father. Ach ma hano yagia lanu mizeh. But what benefit are we going to have? Are we going to have, for instance, in parentheses, v'chiyitin li avi haksainis pasim? I'm not going to get Xenis Pasim. Xenis Pasim was a symbol of royalty. I'm not going to be given a Xenis Pasim. That's not going to happen. Xenis Pasim is the kind of clothing which at the time, those colored garments were worn by royalty. They found similar garments in the tombs in Egypt of that age. So I'm not going to receive that. That was Yosef, the firstborn of Rachel. So what benefit am I going to have? And Yehuda says, you know, if we save him and don't kill him, in spite of how much we hate him, in spite of how guilty he is of speaking ill of us and of being just a wrong-minded brother in a family that otherwise gets along, we spare him, Father will love us and appreciate us even more. Umiyad, when they all agreed, okay, we're not going to kill him. Once they came down from that mindset of kill, kill, kill. Once they came down from that mindset, I said, all right, you know, there's no benefit, let's sell him. Then, Ro'u Chaymer Ha'isr Sha'osu La'horgu Ha'mitzad Adid Gamke. Then they were able to see, you know, in the frenzy, in the grip of that Yetzer Hara, we didn't see clearly. We actually thought that it's right and correct to kill him, because that's what the Yetzer Hara does. The Yetzer Hara will twist and turn and cause so much of your vision to be occluded and your thinking to be so circumspect and so incorrect and so blind to the truth that you actually think you're doing the right thing when you're doing something, God forbid, so wrong. So what did Yehuda do? thank God, he had an ulterior motive for saving Yosef's life. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's what the Mehesh Shaloyach says. V'zois ha'etza. The idea of saying, well, take whatever it is that's wrong, take the Aveira, and before you do it, consider whether you're really going to benefit from it. I mean, whether you're going to benefit, not in terms of what kind of a person you'll be, not in terms of your Elam Haba, your Elam Hazeh. You know, I might get caught, for example. I might be embarrassed if somebody sees. I really don't care, but you know what happens if someone sees me? And that's a very common situation where a person, you know, would do something wrong, but I might get caught. Then I'll be embarrassed. And the deeper thought might then afterwards come to him or her, what am I saying? Yes, I'll be embarrassed. Well, why would I be embarrassed? Oh, I'd be embarrassed because it really is the wrong thing to do. But that's a step toward that recognition and toward regaining some of the power that the Yetzer HaTov had normally provided him or her. But Zayis HaEtzer, Sha'al pi chachmas olam hazeh, Osur la'adam sheyogen ima ba'adai. Osur la'adam, a person should not fend off doing the wrong thing by always looking at whether it's good or bad for him in this world. A person should rather choose the right thing because it's right and avoid the wrong thing because it's wrong. Not because of some ulterior motive, as we say. There should be altruism. And what Yehuda did was so much the opposite of altruistic decision making. A person should not be protecting himself. Sheyogin ima ba'adoy b'chol eis. Rak be'eis ha'nisoyon. Only in the moment of absolute, fullest, severe tension with the Yetzer Hara gripping you and you have no other recourse. She'ein Yetzer Acheres. You have no other recourse. Av lifresh me'isur be'eis shezeichel shehadavar asur. Rather, you should try at the time, even at the time of being gripped with that Yetzer Hara, think about the isur. Recognize that it's asur. That's far and away more preferable than saying, well, it's not something I'll benefit from. You should try not to stay away from all the wrong things for the wrong reasons. Rak machmas pkudasa yisparach. Stay away from the wrong things because they are not the will of God. And this, of course, can be applied in all kinds of areas. In financial issues, in personal issues, in how we treat one another, in how we treat our children, our parents, our spouse, how we relate to others, how we relate to the mitzvahs of the Torah, from everything that we do every day of the week in davening and in learning and in Shabbos, to kashrus, to taras mishpacha, to every area of life that we can and sometimes unfortunately do, well, it's not something I'll really benefit from, so, or maybe I'll be even injured, there'll be some reason that it would actually cause me harm. No. Try to do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'zeh pirush ha'gemara kol ha'mevarech es Yehuda, meaning that you praise Yehuda, haynu, sheyosher hadavar be'enov. You look at Yehuda's example and say, wow, great, you know, he realized that, you know, he's not going to benefit from killing his own brother. If that's the way you live life, looking at something that you shouldn't do and say, well, you know, may not be worth it. You know, the cost benefit analysis. That's not how it's supposed to be. On the side of cost, you're just supposed to say, it's not the Ritzon Habayre, it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Hainu shiyashra davar b'ein of tamid. Lasis tamid kain. Nikra b'itzeya. Then that's dishonest. Because that's not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the idea of the Gemara is. That such a person is following in the footsteps of Yehuda's mistake. Ki Yehuda gam kain lo lokach lo eitz ha-zois. Yehuda only used that ulterior motive because it was b'shas ha-nisayon. But as soon as they got over that hump and calmed themselves down, they realized, oh, of course, we can't harm him directly. We don't want to kill our brother.
Is this a shat ha-nisayon here? Is it referring to this particular case?
Of course.
Or is it referring to the Maaseh Tamar where he...
No.
Where he says,
that's a different nisayon. Here.
So he's talking about this particular. This
is the
but
case.
But how does he pass? I mean, it seems like he does not. You know, the fact that I don't see him. How did he redeem himself in this situation?
Yehuda doesn't redeem himself. Indeed, that's why he separates himself from the family, and he feels that he failed, and he indeed did fail. And that's why the Gemara says he should not be blessed and shouldn't be praised for what he did. But what the Mishalech is pointing out is it's not just simply because he didn't ultimately save him completely and he ended up being sold and all of the story goes on. It's more than that. It's that the reason he gave and felt in his heart was totally lacking in the right perspective. It was not because it's the Ritzon HaBayri to do right, but it's because I'm not going to benefit. That's not the reason to do what's right. Let's continue in the next piece. He says, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. At first, the Shvatim, the brothers, felt that he deserves to die. Because he had spoken ill of them to their father, interesting expression. It was a sin for Yosef to speak in a manner that would cause him, Yosef, to be cut off from the rest of the family. He calls this Sheirish Chayav, the root of life. Because who is the root of life? What is the root of life? What is life provided by what? Who? How? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at this time providing life and presenting in the world through Yaakov Uvanov. The Shechina, and we learned this in the Me'eshilech last week, after the passing of Rachel, the Shechina was with and was rooted in the lives of Yaakov and his sons. And now, if one of them is cut off, then that being cut off means you're cutting off some of the presence of the Shechina, and it's as if you're cutting off one limb of the whole body of Klal Yisrael. Ki hayu mafrid beinam levein avihem. What he was doing was causing them to be cut off from their father. Their father is as important a connection as you can ever imagine. Yaakov Avinu is not just the biological father. He is the spiritual connection to Yitzchak and to Avraham. Ultimately, v'hayanira be'enam kimafrud hayichud shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Knesset Yisrael. Yaakov represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their connection to the divine is through Yaakov. If Yosef is pulling us away or pushing his father, our father, away from us, he is separating us from the Holy One. Ki Yaakov hayoz hatzadik yosoid oilam. Now this is an important Hasidic concept, that when there is a tzadik yosoid oilam means that there is a tremendous flow of holiness and the presence of God in the world through the tzaddik, and then to us by us connecting to the tzaddik, by us becoming one with the tzaddik. And we need to be one with the tzaddik, our father Yaakov, and Yosef is separating us from him. Because he was, at the time, Yaakov was the tzaddik, Yisayid Erdem, Shah Olam Nish An Olav. Everything's dependent upon him. He is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. V'heim hoyu kol Yisrael. The 12 Shvatim, they are the Jewish people. In microcosm, they are the Jewish people. Not just the Jewish people to be. They are the Jewish people at the time. They are literally the B'nai Yisrael. And then he says a fascinating thing. Remember that when they come to Yaakov Avinu at the very end, Yaakov questions why the Shekhinah seems to have left him when they come and he wanted to be Megalus Akeitz, and they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, that word Echad, is the key word to tell Yaakov and to say to Yaakov to reinforce the truth of the holiness of them all together, that they represent the Rebbeinu Shlalem in the world. Why? Ki betevas echad shebishma Yisrael hoyu kulam nechlalim. All of the family is nechlal, is encompassed in the word echad. Ki aleph hu neged Yaakov. One, the one is their father Yaakov, who represents the Rebbeinu Shlalem himself, so to speak. V'haches is neged ches b'nei hagviras, the 8 sons of Rachel and Leah. Dalid is keneged don Naftali God and Asher, the B'nai HaShvachis. Echad, we are one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov and his sons. Ukfidaitam hayiritzayne lahafrid hayichud halazeh. The Shvatim felt that Yosef is separating them from and destroying the unity of God and man, meaning God and the Shvatim. Rak Yehuda Amar b'chachmasai. This is a very different approach than the one we saw a few moments ago. This is far more easygoing and even praising of Yehuda. B'chachmasai, Yehuda said, she'ein ha-mishpat mevurar. It's not so clear whether Yosef really is so guilty. Kach, this way. And to this extent, ki ulai hu toiv, maybe Yosef is good, and maybe his purposes are not to destroy the yichud that we are together with father. V'rak anu toyin boy, maybe we're mistaken in our assessment of him and what he is doing. Al kein yo'atz eisam shiim kru eisam. So they said, let's sell him. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam clarify the matter. We'll give him over to others. Let's see what happens. If in the root of the thing, he's really good and right, and righteous, then he'll survive in Egypt physically, for sure, and spiritually, he will survive as well, which is what happened. He rises to great heights, not only materially, but spiritually. V'lo yidach mimenu nidach, meaning, and no one who belongs to Hashem truly will be lost from Hashem. Mimenu meaning from HaKadosh Baruch. V'al kein birer oisei Hashem yisbach v'tziref oisei al yidei maised eishes patifar. That's indeed what happened, as we read in our parsha. Yehuda was right. He went to Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests Yosef and brings out of Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, that in spite of that terrible Yetzirah, Yosef says no. He sees the vision. He has what his father represented to him always with him, and he does not do the Aveira. And that connects to what he did with his mouth, or didn't do with his mouth. Kibris ha-ma'or, the bris of the ma'or of the foreskin. Mechuvin keneged bris haloshon. In Kabbalah, and in the physical representation of midos, the bris ha-ma'or, the bris at that part of the body below, centered between the two sides of the body and the extremities, corresponds to the bris haloshon, the bris krusulus fasayim, the power of speech. So that whether his speech was right, wrong, was meant to destroy or not, was mevurar, became clear and tested and then made clear by the way he stood correctly, righteously, up to Eshes Potiphar in that test. So what the Me'ash Eloich is saying in summation is that the brothers looked at him and said, he is destroying the Yichud HaBoyre that we represent. We represent being the totality of holiness in the world. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents in this world through the holy people of the world. That's us. He's destroying that by disconnecting us from our Father. Maybe not. Maybe that's not what he intends to do. Maybe that's not what would result from his actions. Let's see. We will not harm him. Let's see if he's disconnecting and disconnected himself from the divine. That will be the test in Mitzrayim. And of course, when they meet up with him again, and finally he actually identifies himself to them, they realize, wow, wow, this is a very, very holy person. So holy that his guidance and leadership, as he wished to assert that leadership and guidance years ago, he was right. He is to be the leader. And he became the leader from that moment on. But this was not something yet clear to them. But what he is saying is that was the goal of all of the brothers. The goal of the brothers was not just to destroy Yosef, but to maintain not just the unity of a family, which is important, but the unity of the presence of Hashem in the world, the Holy One himself, represented by them and their father, unified as one.